When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
So your only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Hi, everyone. It's Kara Golden from The Kara Golden Show, and I am so excited to have my next guest here. We have a serial entrepreneur here, serial founder, Kristen Powell, who is the co-founder and CEO of a fairly new brand called Kinship. And if you have not tried Kinship yet, you absolutely must. And you're going to be so excited to hear everything that Kristen has to say, not only as a serial founder, but also as a creator and somebody who really, really understands the beauty industry. So Kinship is a science-backed skincare brand specifically designed for sensitive skin. So Kristen has spent nearly two decades studying skin chemistry, ingredients, plant medicine, holistic health, the skin microbiome, as well as starting and growing companies. So prior to Kinship, Kristen co-founded a brand that you may be aware of called Juice Beauty, and led the development of award-winning skincare companies, including for a handful of companies, but you might recognize Paracone MD. So she really knows what she's doing and is really terrific. And I can't wait to chat more with Kristen about everything beauty and her building and creating this incredible company. So welcome, Kristen.
Thank you, Kara. It's so great to be here and to see you after these many years that we haven't been in touch. And I'm so excited for your podcast.
Well, thank you for joining me. I'm so excited. And I love your new gig. Your new company is just absolutely incredible. So I'm very, very excited to have you on to chat a little bit more about it. And if anybody hasn't tried the products, they're absolutely terrific. I was just mentioning to Kristen that not only is the eye cream, but also the vitamin C is just like amazing and smells amazing too. Not like a lot of vitamin C products don't smell that great, but this is absolutely terrific. And I, for one, have very sensitive skin. So it's something that I really, really appreciate in a product. So talk to me about Kinship, and maybe you can, even before we talk about Kinship, what were you doing before Kinship?
Yeah, so I'd always had a fascination with skin ever since I was a little child. Maybe because I had really sensitive skin as a child and a teen. I had everything from acne to rosacea and then I got skin cancer in my mid-20s. So I got super interested in health really fast, as I saw my skin changing. And I was just obsessed with finding a solution for my own skin. So I started finding solutions by formulating my own products that were organic and free of harmful pesticides and chemicals. And later that became Juice Beauty, which was the first clean premium brand on the market. And then I just kept going. I ended up being really, really good at the science and the art of product development. And I just kept going with it. It was creative, but nerdy at the same time. I'm kind of a science nerd. So I kept going and ended up being pulled into Perricone MD as head of product development, which really kind of I cut my teeth on how to formulate really hard-hitting, efficacious products. And then I went over to Ever Skincare with Stella and Dot. So these big brands I was formulating for and just loving it, loving this intersection of science and health and skin and beauty and really how to make great skin for people who were having skin issues, whether it was sensitivity or wanting to just have healthy quality skin. And when you're a skincare formulator, you really have to understand the science of skin. Mm-hmm. You have to know the biology of skin in addition to ingredients, how those ingredients work together to create a formulation. So I just kept going with it. And Kinship was a natural progression for me to start because I realized all these years I had sensitive skin and there wasn't really anything out there that was for sensitive skin, but that also had beautiful textures and amazing aromas and color from plant-based ingredients. And we really saw this opportunity to bring joy to sensitive skin, to like give them all the sexy ingredients and the potency, but have all the good stuff in it, and show people that you can have all that good stuff, even if you have sensitivity.
How often have you thought about learning a new language only to be stopped by that memory of yours from the last time you tried to learn a language when it didn't go so well? Okay, maybe it wasn't a language that you were interested in learning, or perhaps all those poorly written textbooks in your sixth grade class weren't that well written after all. I have a great tip for you. It's called Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program around. Available on desktop or app, no matter where you choose to learn it or what platform you choose to learn on, Rosetta Stone works and it truly immerses you in the language you choose to learn quicker and easier than you ever imagined to. Maybe you're getting ready to travel abroad this summer and you want to learn a bit of Portuguese, let's say, before your trip. Rosetta Stone can help. I know this firsthand as I did just this before traveling to Portugal last year. I learned Portuguese through Rosetta Stone, and by doing so, I not only got a better grasp of the spoken language of Portugal, but it got me very excited for the trip itself before I went. They even have a true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation as you are learning too. They've got you covered. Rosetta Stone's trusted experts are the real deal. They've been helping people just like you for over 30 years, helping millions of people to learn Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and my favorite, Portuguese. The lessons are 5 to 10 minutes long and include practical exercises so that you can pick up the language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. No English translations either, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language you are focused on, helping you get the long-term retention you are looking for. And who wouldn't want that? Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the Kara Golden Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today today. Thinking about what's for dinner, but you haven't had a minute to even think about it before now? Well, let's not make that mistake again. I have a tip for you. Factor. Stress-free, delicious, ready-to-eat meals, just perfect for spring and summer yumminess. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes or less. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, keto, vegan, veggie, or calorie smart. Factor has you covered. Discover more than 60 add-ons every week, too, like breakfast and on-the-go lunch choices. Snacks and beverages now, too. Stay fueled and feel good all day long with whatever they are creating over at Factor for you. And the best part, each meal is ready to eat in just 2 minutes or less. And who wouldn't want that? Factor is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. Get started today and fuel up for your spring and summer goals. What are you waiting for? Head to factormeals.com/golden50 and use code golden50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code golden50 at factormeals.com/golden50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. That's code golden50 at factormeals.com/golden50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
So you had co-founded a company and then you went and supported founders in their efforts to build out this beauty that they wanted inside of their company. And then you decided to go back to co-founding. So what was the moment when you had said, I'm going to go do this? Because obviously you could have taken your ideas for sensitive skin to within somebody else's dream, right? But you decided, and you know, I think founders are a glutton for punishment in many ways. Like being a founder is really hard. And it wasn't like you were walking in not knowing what you were getting into because you had done this before. But was there a moment when you just said, I've either got to go do this or like, I think there's a moment when so many founders don't believe anyone else is going to do it. And so you just are like, yeah. I need to go do this.
That was it. I have a co-founder, Allison Halgen, and she and I met in a coffee shop talking about who was creating that line that was modern for sensitive skin, that really like brought all these modern sensibilities in, that was genderless and that was sustainably minded, accessibly priced, but really like fun to use. And she said to me, we'd gotten to know each other over a period of months. And she said, Kristen, like, who else is going to do this? Like, you have the formulation experience. You can fill this need. I have a background in marketing and sales, and we could do this. And I think it was just that, like, I got one more in me. There was like that moment where I realized I have a lot of energy and a lot of ideas and a lot of creativity that I thrive on. And and I want a vehicle for that. And I don't know, I was raised by a single mom. There was a lot of change in my life growing up. I think I thrive on that change, which is why startups are somewhat like familiar to me. And I just felt like if not now, like when? This is it.
Yeah, definitely. So how would you describe Kinship? The first product that you launched with, what did you want to accomplish there that you didn't see out there? Because I always feel like that is probably the most defining, right? In a line that it sort of sets the tone for the purpose of what you're doing. So what was that first product and how have you expanded since then?
So believe it or not, we started with the idea of four products, very simple regimen, a cleanser, exfoliating pads, a gel cream moisturizer, a pimple potion, because we wanted a simple line that wasn't a lot of complicated steps. Multitasking products. People are short on time. So we wanted products that did a lot of things in each step. And then about a year into formulating, we realized, how can we launch a skincare line without a sunscreen? Because sunscreen is probably the most important product to use in a skincare regimen. Whether you're 18 or 48, you need that sun protection. It is the number one cause of skin damage. And so I started working on a sunscreen immediately and launched it with the initial collection. It was really hard. It took like a year and a half to get the sunscreen right and test it on all the different skin tones that we wanted it to include and have the scent be phenomenal and have the texture be disruptive. We wanted this skincare product that happened to have sunscreen in it. And so most zinc oxide sunscreens are really drying. This sunscreen's actually a moisturizer. So it's good for anyone with dehydrated skin who's in their 20s up until someone who has aging skin. And hydration is also incredibly important with sunscreen because you need to hold in moisture when you're outside. And that product, Self Reflect, ended up being our bestseller and won a Best of Beauty award from Allure. So it was just an example of how, like, don't overlook these opportunities that could be heroes. Don't assume what's going to be a hero. Let your audience decide what's going to be your hero product.
Yeah, definitely. So what is the moisturizer there that sort of makes that happen?
So a lot of sunscreens use silicones, which are these petroleum-based ingredients that give it a nice slip. It gives it that velvety slip that goes on. They're in a lot of primers and sunscreen products just because they feel good going on. But silicones are not moisturizing. They may provide a little bit of a barrier, but they're not actually nourishing. So we are using a coconut-based, they're called coconut alkanes, and they're silicone alternatives that are incredibly moisturizing. They're nourishing. They have fatty acids in them that actually help the skin cells hold together. We're using red raspberry seed oil, turmeric, a host of superfood natural oils that are really deeply nourishing, not just covering the skin, but actually going in and rebuilding skin.
So when you were looking at creating the products, you touched on this a little bit, but when you were working with your co-founder to kind of think about what was out there and I guess, what was your go-to-market strategy? Who was your perfect consumer? How did you think about this?
Yeah, well, we felt the most underserved customer at the time, and this is back in 2019, was Gen Z, was this 16 to 25-year-old that was just coming of age, wanted a skincare product that worked, but that was clean. I wanted it to be modern and accessibly priced, sustainably minded. As it turns out, our customer ends up being a millennial and older. So just an example of how if I did a brand again or advised on a brand, don't formulate a brand for an age, formulate it for a mindset or a condition, because you don't know who's going to be attracted to it. You just don't know. And so try to be flexible with that age range. But we thought that that age range was really underserved. But what we ended up doing was forming this thing we called the Kin Circle. And it was this group of people from 16 to 35 who were friends and family, really, that we said, we need to try these products on people before we launch them. We want real people to try them, not just two moms in their kitchen trying them, but we want real people, all ages, all skin tones, demographics, geography to try them. So it was about 100 people. And that Kin Circle ended up being the way we went to market. They helped us with everything from social strategy to how we built community to how we chose our packaging colors to coming to some of our events, being our first brand ambassadors. It was just that involving our customer with our launch and with our marketing focus that got us a lot of attention, and it got us organic reach and a Fast Company award within 2 years.
That's amazing. So that's so inspiring to hear that, how you went through that process. So there's many beauty products in the market. Also for sensitive skin, there you definitely see things that are labeled for sensitive skin. I probably am not going to tell you anything that you don't know, that doesn't necessarily mean much. You really have to start to understand ingredients as a consumer, not only in the cosmetics industry, but also in the beverage industry and food industry. It's like, it's so crazy. So how do you differentiate this brand to the consumer? Like, how do you let the consumer know what you're all about, other than, you know, knowing that there's some bad actors, I guess, out there who maybe are going to say exactly what you're going to say? How do you get people to really know what you're doing?
Yeah, I think You're right that the industry is saturated. Mm-hmm. Skincare has definitely reached a saturation point. There's a lot of brands out there. There's a lot of products. I think the customer's overwhelmed and confused. They're looking to TikTok wisdom, which can be a little bit dangerous because the people who are promoting the products on TikTok don't necessarily have a skincare background or mm-hmm. a science background to know what to recommend. So there's been a bit of like overdoing it. I think too many ingredients, too many products. I think the best way to, and what we found is successful, is to find an emotional connection with your customer by sharing your authentic story. Ours is bringing joy into the sensitive skin category, proving that you can have products that have the lovely scents and the beautiful textures and luxurious colors and have it be appropriate for sensitive skin. Build that emotional connection with your customers and let them tell the story, because it's much more authentic when other people are telling the story of how great these products are versus the brand telling it. I think yeah. consumers are overwhelmed with brands telling them, you need this and you need that and you should do this. It's starting to become kind of noise, and people just want to be talked to in a real way. They just want a conversation, just like you and I are talking, where we could be talking about a clothing brand and I could say, I love this dress. Have you tried this brand, Kara? That's the way I think the new modern commerce will go, is authentic people telling authentic stories of how this brand changed their life.
I totally agree. I think, you know, word of mouth is so key. And I think even influencers, I think at times it's a tough strategy, because it's like, who do you believe? And I think most people believe that a lot of these influencers, the more famous you are, you know, the more likely you're getting some money from it, and therefore, you know, you're going to say whatever. And I think the consumer has gotten really smart about that. It makes a difference if you've got certain celebrities in there that are talking about your product. But I also feel like there's no comparison to word of mouth. And when people really start chatting about your product, I think it makes such a huge difference. So when you were launching your company, Kinship, did you feel like you had a strategy, a go-to-market in terms of we're going to be mostly online, or we're going to go into stores, or we're going to do both? Did you have an idea where you were going to be? We've had some people on who have said, I'm not touching retail, because why would I? You know, I'm going to grow just online. And maybe, you know, that's one strategy. We've had other people say, I totally thought that it was all about being in stores, and then I realized during the pandemic that my consumer needed me to be online, and I got busy and got going. But I'm just curious, how did you think about that?
Yeah. We, Allison and I, really launched this as a digital first brand. We did not think about retail when we first started Kinship, because our target audience was young. We knew they were on their phones 24/7. We knew that they were buying things online. We were excited about building that with our audience online. And the problem with that strategy is, just like you don't know what age range is going to be attracted to your product line, you don't really know where that person is going to want to find you. Because the retail and the distribution and sales channels are constantly evolving. So we launched online in November 2019, and we had a good couple of months, but it wasn't anywhere near what we had expected it to be. So about 3 months in, we realized, well, this is going to take longer and take more money to build something from scratch online. The cost of acquisition was also rising at the time. And it was just harder and harder to build something strictly online, especially with the $25 average price point. Your unit economics are not as great with that lower price point. So we started talking with retailers and realized there is a huge opportunity to include retail in this conversation, because, and this was in the middle of COVID, so it was an awkward time to launch in retail, but we realized that building a brand, you still need that in-person experience, especially with skincare, because it's such a tactile product. It's such a personal type of consumer product that you want to, people want to smell it and feel it. They want to feel the packaging. It's personal.
Yeah.
And so we realized that retail needed to be a part of the equation. And that's when we got into Ulta Beauty, which we were very happy about because Ulta was a good choice for Kinship. At that time, they had that Gen Z customer and they had a Spark program. They're rolling out Conscious Beauty. And so Ulta was the right choice for us.
Definitely. So you had co-founded another company, Juice Beauty. What do you think you learned from being a second-time founder that you would do differently in this company?
I'm definitely more efficient with my time. I think when you're a first-time founder, you kind of get pulled in whatever direction of the moment is trying to pull you. Mm-hmm. Sort of looking at those urgencies, which can take up the entire day, versus looking at the three things that day that are going to really move the business forward. So I've learned to be incredibly stingy with my time and understand that that 80-20 rule, and that my time has to be spent on the 20% that is really going to move the needle, and then focusing my team on that 20%. And it's hard because there's, you know this, because you built a brand, it's, you get distracted every day and there's 15 different things that could pull you in different directions, but you have to be laser focused on your KPIs and your goals that you believe are going to really set you up for success. So I think I would just really impress upon entrepreneurs to be very focused with their time and their energy. And I think I would make decisions quicker too. I think it was Jack Welch that said, you're going to have 10 decisions to make every day. 7 of them are going to be wrong, but 3 of them that you're going to make are going to really move the business forward. And knowing that, you just accept it. Okay, yeah. Some of these decisions are not going to work, but those 3 have to be right and they're going to really make an impact.
Definitely. So the beauty industry is constantly changing, trends and new companies cropping up constantly. What have you learned about staying focused? I mean, you talked about, you know, spending, figuring out the 80-20 rule there, but also what have you learned about, you know, focusing on your company versus looking at what others are doing, or maybe also looking at trends? Like how have you thought about that?
I think it's really important to keep an ear to social trends because life is constantly changing. It's the nature of our world. You have to constantly be up on social trends and what's happening in the environment and culture and politics and movements. But also, I really think it's important not to get too distracted by what everyone else is doing because mm-hmm. otherwise the industry becomes copycat. And then we see that a little bit that's happening in the beauty industry right now. You see a little bit of copycatting where it's like the same strategies, the same go-to-market, the same, even the same categories are being tapped where there's already 30 brands that are focusing on that particular category. We don't need another, this kind of brand. So I really think it's important to set aside time to be incredibly resourceful or find whatever stimulates your creative juices and think differently. Think where has no one gone before in beauty? And pull in people like Leslie Blodgett. She's like a B12 shot for me. When she comes over, I get so many ideas. She's so inspiring. She kind of pulls me out of my everyday thinking and helps me think laser focused on that customer. She always says, love your customers aggressively. And I just love that sentiment that we're here to serve our customers. And so if you're ever at a loss for how to focus your time, just listen to your customers. They know what they want. They'll tell you exactly what they need. And that's who we're serving at the end of the day.
I totally agree. So Leslie Blodgett's the founder of Bare Essentials and a mutual friend of ours too. She's amazing. I love all of her words of wisdom as well. So she's terrific, a great founder and also former CEO of that company before it was sold. So very, very cool. So we talked a bit about your different products. You talked about the sunscreen and moisturizing sunscreen and the difference between that and maybe some others that are out there. But tell me about your favorite SKU or if it isn't your favorite SKU, maybe it's the hardest one that you're most proud of that maybe took longer. Ours for, by the way, for a hint, when we were developing, there were, you know, so many stories along the way in building Hint, but the lemon seemed like, why can't you do a lemon? Because that's, you know, what everybody does. And the problem is people weren't using real lemon. And when you did, it often smelled like turpentine, right? And it could turn into turpentine as well. So it was, that was our hardest flavor to actually create. And, but I'm so curious about sort of your path and what was one of the more difficult ones that you're really proud of.
Yes. So we talked about the sunscreen, which is really hard to formulate. But I'm so proud of that product being a number one seller at Ulta, Allure Best of Beauty. It disrupted skincare because it's really a skincare product that happens to have sunscreen in it. It's a moisturizer, but it happens to have that sunscreen element to it. But I think the product that I'm most proud of today is our Bright Way Vitamin C Peptide Serum. Hmm. And the reason why this product was so fun to work on was because I was really excited to really bring something new to the vitamin C category. Most vitamin C serums out there are runny. They turn brown. They smell like hot dogs. I have no idea why they smell like hot dogs, but they do. They're unstable. Most vitamin C isn't stable. It's a vitamin. So it mm-hmm. gets exposed to light and air and it turns brown. It also loses its efficacy really quickly and it irritates. So I wanted to create the ultimate vitamin C serum for sensitive skin. So I set out to do that. And we figured out a way to encapsulate vitamin C so that it was in a fat-soluble version. It's called THD ascorbate. And we figured out how to pair that with a peptide. So when it went into the skin, it did not irritate because it had a way to get through the outside layer of the skin. And then it brought that peptide deeper in. So it's able to really restructure collagen and soothe and reduce potential melanin, which is contributes to sun damage, and help with that sun damage and brighten all at the same time without irritating because it had that ability to absorb with the fat into the skin. And we also added a apricot mango scent to it, just a light botanical scent that is tested for any kind of potential irritation. And this kind of buttery, velvety texture, which wasn't really done in skincare and vitamin C's before. We really wanted to give it like this beautiful absorption and this smooth, like just luxurious way of applying it. I felt that the vitamin C serums out there, why did they have to be so runny? Why couldn't it be in this like really comforting base? So it was all about like comfort and looking forward to using this product. The scent is very uplifting. So I can't wait to use it in the morning. I wake up, the first thing I do is I put that serum on and it just immediately lifts my mood.
It smells so good and it's it works terrific. So I think so much vitamin C isn't moisturizing. It's like, it's sort of, I've questioned whether or not it actually is the right thing. And especially I'm constantly dry. So for me, I've always like wondered is this actually drying out my skin versus actually giving it some kind of benefit? So I think I'm a new fan of your product and I'm such a, that product in particular is terrific. What is the most challenging aspect of building a company? I know you've seen this before. You have to have great products, I think, in order to get a company off the ground. But there's so many other aspects that I think are super important. I'd love to hear your thoughts and maybe advice on that.
Yeah, I think it's the psychology of your mindset that needs to be a certain way to be an entrepreneur for this long, because there's a lot of rejection that you face as a founder, as an entrepreneur, whether it's your fundraising and you talk to 10 VCs and 8 of them reject you, or you want to get into a particular retailer and they're passing on you for now. It's constantly facing potential rejection. So I think you have to I learned how to understand that it's not really rejection. It's kind of leading you to the right place eventually and building that resilience and forcing you to find the right partners. I mean, for us, I think we ultimately found the right investors, and I'm really happy with who ended up investing us. They're very hands-on. They are very supportive. They know their stuff. They're almost like operating partners with us in the game and just part of our family. And if we hadn't gone through all that rejection, we wouldn't end up with the investors that we have. So I think it's just picking yourself up after all those rejections. Just go, okay, next. It's a statistics game, kind of like baseball, where half the time you're going to get up and hit and half you're not. Or maybe it's more like a quarter of the time you're going to hit, 75% not.
That's so true. So what has, when you think about advice, and maybe even you touched on these dramatic kind of high and low points along the way, this rejection that comes that every founder has heard. Maybe there's some advice that people have given you along the way. Maybe now you give other people advice on how do you deal with that as you're growing your company, as you're growing your career. This is the last question. So I'd love to hear what you would say to that.
Well, I think especially if you're a first-time founder, don't get discouraged. My advice would be keep going. Put those words up on your board somewhere or on your mirror. Just keep going. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And your why and why you're doing it has to be really important. So dig deep on what that why is and have it be incredibly meaningful. For me, it had to be more meaningful than raising children, because raising children is pretty meaningful. And so to start another business, it had to be really, really meaningful to me. So that says a lot about why I started Kinship. But have that why be in front of you all the time and driving you and pushing you forward. And also, I think a lot of founders are uncomfortable asking for help. They feel like I have to know it all, or I have to do it all, or I have to be an expert in these 5 different hats I'm wearing. Just be vulnerable and understand you're not going to know the answers to everything. And I actually think that vulnerability is a strength, to be able to say, I'm not good at running a P&L. I want this person to do it who loves it. Let me do what I'm good at. That will free you up a lot from feeling the pressure of feeling like you have to be an expert in everything.
Definitely. I think that takes a lot of confidence, but also you learn over time that it's okay to actually tell people you don't know, right? I talk about that a lot. So, because there's a lot of things that you probably do know. And when you can kind of own it, I think people can also help you figure out how to create your balance so that everybody's going to be successful in the picture. So really, really super great advice. So Kristen Powell, co-founder and CEO of Kinship, thank you so much. We'll have all the info in the show notes. Everyone needs to try this product for sure. And definitely thank you again for all of your wisdom. Really, really terrific. So have a great rest of the week, Kristen.
Thank you so much, Kara. It's wonderful to be here with you.
Thanks again for listening to The Kara Golden Show. If you would, please give us a review and feel free to share this podcast with others who would benefit. And of course, feel free to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode of our podcast.
Just a reminder that I can be found on all platforms at Kara Golden. I would love to hear from you too, so feel free to DM me. And if you want to hear more about my journey, I hope you will have a listen or pick up a copy of my Wall Street Journal best-selling book, Undaunted, where I share more about my journey, including founding and building Hint. We are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Thanks for listening, and goodbye for now.